conclude the series Christ-centered Christmas. We started with a passage from John 1:1-18, and we looked at who Jesus is. Jesus did not begin his origin from Bethlehem 2,000 years back, but he began much before everything began. He is the creator, sustainer, source of our life. The second week we looked at Matthew 1:18-25, and we looked at the aspect of Jesus being the Savior and Emmanuel, and how it affects, or Jesus affects our life. Last week we looked at Mary's life, and we looked at Jesus as the Messiah, the King, who wants to rule in our life, in our family, in our society. Today we will look at a passage from Luke chapter 2, and I will just read it fast, then afterwards we will study from the passage. Luke 2:22. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name of the angel, the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of the purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Just as we saw here, after Jesus was circumcised, after the time of purification was over, baby Jesus was taken to Jerusalem to dedicate to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves of two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought the child Jesus to him, what the custom of the law was required, Simon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." During Christmas time, we all have developed our own traditions. From 97, our tradition, our family tradition, was to visit with widows and poor people. People who are socially and economically underprivileged. Until we came here, we did that because my dad passed away in 97, and after that, every Christmas, we visited our mom, who is a widow. Last 9 years, we have not been doing this because we live in the United States. But after coming here, we tried as much as possible to visit with different people, particularly who were single and who were widows. And as you know, we were able to do that, but this year we could not do as much as we did last year and the previous years. In the course of our time in Dallas, we got to know a few people, and one of them is a lady from West Texas. She is now about 84 years old. When she was young, she had a lot of energy and a lot of dreams. She wanted to achieve a lot, and she married a very successful businessman. And her desire was to meet some of her needs. She thought she had a longing to become a very, very wealthy person. She married this businessman. For some time, their marriage went very well. And meanwhile, they got two children, two boys. Slowly, her focus shifted from the marriage and from her business towards the children. She spent all her time on the children, educating them, sending them to different clubs, different schools, and teaching them various skills. As she was doing this, her husband decided that he was going to divorce her. And her dream got dented a little bit. But she thought, anyway, I have two boys, I'm going to bet on that. She divorced her husband, or they got separated, and she spent all her time on the children. And as she was spending the time on children, children were growing up, and when they became teenagers, they did not want their mom, who was spending all her time on them, they went after other people, you know, that is natural. Then she thought she would go and enroll herself in a university and get some higher education. She did that. She traveled probably about 80 to 85 miles one way, 3 days a week to go to school, came back, and she got her graduate degree. She thought she would become successful by getting herself a higher degree. She was becoming successful in a kind of worldly sense. She was having money from her ex-husband, and she also got a business through her education, but she was not really satisfied. Initially, she thought she would find happiness through the marriage. She did not. She thought she would find happiness through her husband's business. She did not. She thought she would spend all her time on her children, and she was disappointed as she was spending all time on the children. Then she thought she was going to, you know, satisfy her intellectually, and she went to school. That did not really satisfy her. And as time went by, boys, both of them left for Nevada, Las Vegas. And after that, they stopped communicating with the mom. And she was really heartbroken, and she was growing old. She was 60, 62, 63. Every week she would try to call them, and they would not return the telephone call. And she was broken. And even now, probably about 18 to 20 years, she has not heard from her children. She had the longing for something to succeed in her life, succeed in relationship, succeed in her business, succeed in her education. Nothing happened. And she also, in the meantime, got involved in politics. And she thought she would just get her satisfaction in politics. And, you know, she probably she's a kind of, you know, go-getter. And she got into the politics, and she went to the extreme, and she was frustrated with so many things. She got frustrated with what's happening in Washington, D.C., what's happening here in the state. And, you know, her life became a standstill. She could not move. And at that time, in her old age, not old age, you know, in American standards, they are 65, is not old, but she met with Christ when she was 65. She received Jesus Christ as her personal Savior and Lord. And after that, her life became so perfect, satisfied, and she led, or she has been even now, she's 84, she is very content. Her children are not with her. They continue to live in Las Vegas, and they have not been communicating with her. She lost a lot of her money because she has not been working, and she is living in a small house all by herself, and she doesn't have too many relatives, and her husband, ex-husband, passed away, and she got herself into a church. But you know what is giving her satisfaction, contentment in life is Jesus Christ. Not the wealth, not the success she longed for, and nothing else but her decision to receive Jesus Christ as her Savior and Lord brought the ultimate satisfaction in her life. What she longed for in relationship or in money or business or education, they could not give, but Jesus Christ, by not spending anything, he gave. Another person I have is, he lives in Bombay, India. He became a follower of Christ when he was 19 years old. He was not born in a Christian home, but he became a follower of Jesus Christ. He was just working for a bank, and within a month or two, he met with a major accident. For about 6 months, he could not move. He lost his job. His father became invalid. And mom was working, and she was retiring, and he had to live on mom's income, and they were living a very poor life. But because he knew Jesus Christ, because Jesus was in his life, he was able to withstand the struggles. When he was staying at home, recovering from the accident, he led his mom and dad to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But he was praying, "Lord, give me a job." God was not giving him a job. And he continued to stay more than 6 months, more than a year. He was praying. In those days, getting a job in India was not that easy. He was waiting for a job. He was longing for some money to go out and live independently. It did not happen. But what happened during that time was he was able to lead Jesus, his mom and dad, to the very knowledge of Jesus Christ, and they became children of our Lord Jesus Christ in the meantime when the turmoil was happening. 2 years later, he got a job in one of the German companies, and from there, God started just lifting him up, and he has gone to the height, probably known as gone of his age. Now he is owning a company. He has centers in California, probably in somewhere in the Midwest, and back in India in several places. But those 2 years, he was longing for a job. He was praying that God would come and show up, give him a small job. He didn't get it. And I see a lot of people here and around the world, people have some kind of longing. Some people are praying for jobs. Some people are praying for their spouses. People who are not married, they say, "I want to get married." Some people want to climb the economic ladder. Some people want some kind of God's intervention in family. This Christmas time, we have an assurance from the Bible that God will intervene in our life. God will fulfill our needs, whatever need it may be. Sometimes it may be a protection from outside. Sometimes it may be a financial need. Sometimes it may be a social need. Sometimes it may be a spiritual need. God is able to meet our needs beyond our expectation and beyond our imagination. The God that we are believing in, the triune God, God Father, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, He is able to meet all our needs. Sometimes we may be thinking, "Oh God, we have worshipped Him on Saturday. Rest of the time we take care of our life." A lot of times that is not correct. Life begins with Lord Jesus Christ. Satisfaction starts with Jesus Christ. Life's fullness starts with Jesus Christ. That is the passage we read here about Simon. Simon was very well advanced in his years. Probably he was about 105 years old or 106 years old, according to the tradition. He was the father of a very popular scholar in Jerusalem in those days by name Gamaliel, father of Gamaliel. And he was a learned man. And he lived close to the temple, according to the passage. But he had a longing. He had a longing to see the salvation of nation Israel. In other words, he was looking for the Messiah to come. A lot of people were looking for Messiah in a palace, or a salvation in a palace, or salvation in the form of a military soldier, or a political intellect. But he was living in the temple when Joseph and Mary brought baby Jesus to the temple. He just ran to Joseph and Mary, took the baby, and he said, "This is what nation Israel was looking for, the Messiah, the consolation." Some translations say, the help that we have been waiting for all along, for so many years. This is what we need. That is Lord Jesus Christ. And this is how he prays. "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace." He's saying, "Lord, let me die now, because I saw the salvation, your salvation." That is what he says in the next verse. "For my eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord." salvation of the Lord. I look around everywhere, you know, in my small sphere of influence, when I visit with friends and when I visit with my families, people who are very wealthy, people not wealthy, people who are very well placed in society, not very well placed in society. One thing is common. They all have longing. And those longings cannot be met by their profession, their money, their relationship, their clout. But I believe all their longings can be met only by our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is God's answer to all the longings of our life. Deepest satisfaction to life comes when we meet Jesus Christ. I see several people in the Bible and also in history, even today. There was a man by name Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a very rich man, very powerful man, and he didn't need anything from God because he had money, he had everything, he had influence, he had a lot of things at his disposal. But when Jesus was approaching the city of Jericho, he had a longing to see Jesus. The minute he encountered Jesus, his life took a complete turn. He met with the reality. And, you know, his deepest need that he was looking somewhere else, Jesus was able to meet. I always tell people, if someone is addicted somewhere, pornography, or alcohol, or drugs, movies, or internet, they have some kind of problem. They have a longing. They have a desire to satisfy. The problem is they are looking at a different place. If you go to alcohol, only 4 hours. My dad probably was the greatest alcoholic I've ever seen. He would drink, but after 4 hours, he would want more. He had a room full of bottles, different types of bottles. And after 4 hours, he would go and take alcohol and drink. And drink. We go spiraling down. Same thing with drugs. I don't have immediate friends who have had that difficulty. But I know of people telling stories. They take drugs, but afterwards, they have to go and search for it because it is temporary. And also, that doesn't give you satisfaction. That is a false reality you are in. Deepest satisfaction to life comes only when we meet Jesus Christ. The lady who was caught in adultery, probably she was involved in adultery for financial reasons. Or it was a habit. Or she has had a difficult childhood days that was manifesting in a way that she was reflecting in her life, you know, in a kind of promiscuous lifestyle. A lot of people I see, about 70 to 80% of the people who are trying to satisfy themselves or meet their longing by being promiscuous. Go from one place to another place to another place. But, you know, it never satisfies. It only takes us down, weighs us down. Finally, we hit the rock bottom. We lose our loved ones. We lose our peace. We lose whatever we have. The security, the relationships. Here comes Jesus. Wherever we are in the in our life, whether we are hitting the rock bottom, or we are deep down under, or wherever we are, we have a longing in our life. Only Jesus can meet our lives. All other things will come to our life. Jesus said to his disciples who were, you know, powerful leaders who had a lot of potentials. You know, they all had all the longings that all of us had. Jesus told them, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added to you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In other words, he says, come to me. And Jesus, in the same book of Matthew 11, 18, he says, come unto me, all who are heavy laden, I will give you rest. The deepest satisfaction to life comes when we meet Jesus Christ. Before I became a believer in 1983, I had a longing to meet the real God. Every Tuesday and Friday, before sun rose, I would just have a cold water shower and go to the temples. I was sincerely seeking God. I would go around seven times, come back the same way, no change. Once a month, I would go to a far place, to a temple, looking for God, thinking that, you know, I would meet my longing. I was not able to meet, or I was not being, my longings were not met. But amazingly, 1983, August 21st, I met with Jesus. The longing that I had was completely satisfied. I'm still a weak person. I'm prone to fall. I'm prone to make all the mistakes. But as far as my longing is concerned, as long as my security is concerned, as long as, you know, my salvation is concerned, my Jesus is there to forgive me, lift me up, take me along. And Simon, having waited for so many years, he was a religious man. You know, sometimes people go and get addicted to churches. You know, some of us can say this one. We were here in church for almost every day. We did so much. And last week after the service, I asked my daughter, how was the service? Did you like the sermon? She said, yes, I know the Christmas message. Every year we hear. There is nothing new. Sometimes we can get addicted to our church. Church doesn't save us. Denomination doesn't save us. But Jesus Christ meets our longings. Jesus alone brings life and direction to humanity. In verse 31, he says, which you have prepared in the sight of all the people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. There may be someone here who may be praying for a direction. Lord, in which way do I need to go? Should I start this? Should I get married? Or should I get involved in this relationship? Or do I need to pursue certain things? These are some of the small things. Our God can guide us. Our God can easily guide us. Our God can also lead us from eternal damnation to eternal salvation. That is why our Lord Jesus Christ came to this world. It's amazing when we quietly read John 3:16 and 17, we will be amazed. You know, God does not require anything from us. Actually, He came to give us something. The thing, very thing that we need. That Jesus did not come to this world to condemn us, but He came to this world to justify us. The thing that we can never acquire in our life, He came to give to us. We will never be called righteous because of our life, but Jesus came to this world so that we will have His righteousness in our life. God, 3:16, God sent His only begotten Son to this world so that whoever believes in Him will have everlasting life. That is the Christmas message. It is not in giving. It is not in just purchasing. All of these things are very important. But the most important thing is to have Jesus in our life. We are going to, God willing, we are going to celebrate one or several more Christmases. But do we get our direction and our guidance in our life from our Lord Jesus? We should not go out from here without knowing who sets direction for our life. Is God setting our direction, or the world is setting direction for our life? Are we heading towards eternity? Someone bluntly came and asked once. I was a believer. He came and asked me, do you know if you die today, where you will be? I knew that I was going to heaven. Because Bible says, if we are in Christ, our salvation is secure. Our future is secure. we must go out from here as we celebrate, as we conclude this Christmas season. Who is setting direction for our life? Is Jesus or our own devices? Our own devices probably may ground us down and down and down. And our own devices of the world will just make us become more bankrupt. But when Jesus comes to our life, he gives us more life. That is what Jesus said in John 10. I came to this world to give life, life in abundance. The abundance that we don't get in any of the things that we look for. Chemicals, or habits, or virtual realities, but he is going to give us that life in abundance now through our Lord Jesus Christ. What is the takeaway? You know, we looked at Simon, we looked at the woman from Eastern Europe, West Texas, and a man from Bombay. All their longings were met by our Lord Jesus Christ, and a new course was developed for them. They didn't know where they were going, but after they met with Jesus, they knew where they were going. Now today, what is the message that we can take from this passage? Understand God's big picture for your life and pursue it. God has a plan for everyone. He has a beautiful plan for me, which he has mentioned in several places. The famous passage we have is Jeremiah 29:11. I have a plan for you. That plan in the view is just singular. He says, I have a plan for Stan, I have a plan for Sean, I have a plan for Sir, you know, I have a plan for Subhash. The key is, I have to understand the plan, and also I have to pursue it. Each one has a plan. It is up to you and God to devise that plan or understand that plan. But generally speaking, this is what his plan is. That you need to have a relationship with him. John 1:14. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. 1:12 says, whoever believes in him, he gave right to become his children. Not born of, you know, physical father, but born of spiritual father, our heavenly father. First and foremost of our plan is that we need to have a relationship with him so that we will enjoy grace after grace in our life. We don't want to live a legalistic life. I should not do this, I should not do this, I should not do this, or always live a guilt-laden life. We don't need to do that. Once we become the child of God through Jesus Christ, we make a relationship with him. After that, we enjoy grace after grace, grace after grace. Then Jesus become, the general plan for our life is Jesus must become Lord and Savior of our life so that God will be with us as Emmanuel. You know, the types of life, the challenges of this world will not affect us because he will carry us through. It is something like in Isaiah 54 says, I have engraved you in the palm of my hand. I consider you as the apple of my eyes. God will come into our picture as Emmanuel, and he will take us through even in difficult times. Some of you may be going through a difficult time. But Isaiah 43 says, even though you walk through waters, they will not overwhelm you. Even though you are walking through fire, they will not burn you, because I am holding your right hand. I'm holding you with my right hand. How many of you will be able to tell you as we conclude this Christmas season that God is holding your hand? God is your Emmanuel. We should never celebrate another Christmas without becoming God's child, without having God as our Emmanuel. The general plan for our life today is God is going to give us the salvation. The salvation we don't need to earn by going to a church and being born in a Christian home. I think that Bible doesn't teach. The word salvation is very simple. It doesn't belong to the present, but it belongs to the future. Salvation is that God will help us escape the final judgment of God. The final judgment is that we will be condemned because of our life and because of the way we live, and we don't meet the standard of God. But, you know, God sent our Lord Jesus Christ to this world as a ransom for all of us. In our place, we need to be condemned. He became our condemnation. And he said, I will pay for Subhash, I will pay for Joe, I will pay for Crane. And he died in my behalf, that we call a substitutionary death. He died on the cross and he paid all the prices, so that when we go and stand before God, we don't have in our record anything wrong, anything bad. So God says, okay, you are not just, you are not judged, you are acquitted, or you know, you are righteous. And today, you have to go from here as a saved people. Your future is secure. No, you will not be condemned, but you will become righteous in the future. Your sins will be forgiven when you believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. When he came to this world, his death on the cross took care of everything that we needed to do. We use several words: redemption, justification, you know, penalty, all of them. Who will reject this beautiful gift? I don't want to reject it. You know, I was 19 years old when I came to know about this one. I wish I had known this one earlier. I wish my dad had passed away knowing this completely well. I wish some of my relatives who passed away from this world knowing this truth really well. But, you know, it was not too late. I was 19 years old. Now, I go around to tell people, my mom, my dad, my brothers, my sister-in-laws, all of them have become followers of Jesus Christ by just inviting Jesus into their heart. Let there be one or two or three here this evening. You may want to conclude this business by asking God, give me the gift that you have, you get this world. That Jesus Christ that I need in my life. All these days, I only believed. All these days, I only participated from far. But I want to experience it myself. If there is anyone here, and I would like to pray with you this evening, Jesus will come into your life and he will fill your heart. He will become your Savior, your Lord, your salvation, your Emmanuel, your Savior. And he will completely give you a new direction in life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old